We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4-KIDS.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
I was at my kids' game, and I went into Cermak, as I always do.
Got a Jarritos?
South Hall said, no, I got a Topo Chico, which I always have to say like Ed Sullivan. No one understands why I say Topo Chico. I have to every single time. Don't give me that look, Ray. It was because of a puppet mouse named Topo Gigio.
We've never had any star who's won such affectionate acceptance as our little Italian mouse, Topo Gigio.
The other day, Jason was like, hey, can you pick me, grab me a
Topo Gigio.
Like, ha!
Now you're doing
yes,
it.
Yes, you're infected. Yes, now you, and you don't even know why you're saying it that way.
So when we were in Mexico.
The Ed Sullivan Show.
You broke Dan, Lawrence.
Don't give me that look, Ray.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score.
It is a Leila Rahimi Wednesday on the Bernstein and Holmes Show. We are here, and I like our color combination today. We've got Forest Green by Rushing Stream. We've got HF Bright Red.
I had to wear green.
Go Vortex Mean Green.
Won yesterday.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Corral finds Wall. Back to Corral on the floor. That'll do it. North Texas escapes, and we'll move on to the championship game in the NIT.
That's what we do, baby. Escape. Race to number 69. Nice. Can't say enough about my school. All of that tracks. Best way to win, try to get the other team to lose.
Whatever it takes.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Will you and Stone Cold Steve Austin be at the finale? Will the glass break and then you both walk out to your seats?
And Don Henley?
Man, I can't walk outside. What are you talking about? I'm in studios. That's what we do around here, except we're going to Sluggers tomorrow.
You're going to be at Sluggers?
Oh, yeah. That happened while you were gone.
So wait, you're on the show tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, that's very exciting. I had no idea.
This is really just an excuse for me to hang out at Sluggers.
You going to get in the cage?
I did the last time I was there.
Sweet.
In a skirt. I did box jumps yesterday. I'm feeling pretty proud.
Hey, Ron Coomer is going to be there too.
I think Ron Coomer should get in the cage. That makes a little more sense.
Russ Dorsey is going to be there. Sahada Sharma.
Gun show.
Actually, they're there?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Well, it kind of makes sense about Sahada, since that's right. His beat and all.
He's always there. Right. He's always in and around that particular milieu. Yes. So tomorrow's going to be fun. And by the way, we should mention that the festivities regarding opening day really start today, because the Score with Parkins and Spiegel are going to broadcast today. The Score, that's us. That's our radio station.
What?
2 to 6 p.m. from Harry Carey's at Navy Pier. That's courtesy of Budweiser. Well, why are they there? Well, it's the 25th annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey. So help vote Harry for mayor of Rush Street.
I thought he was already mayor.
I think so, but he needs to be real. It's like a
I got you.
Don't write him in on the ballot this week.
It's like a parliamentary vote of confidence or no confidence that they could have sort of a recall. This is to make sure he's not recalled as mayor of Rush Street.
All right, I got it.
Someone else is installed as mayor of Rush Street.
Doug Buffon.
Because of crime on Rush Street. You just need like to flood it with cops. And if you don't,
the streets are gonna run red with blood if Harry Carey is not reelected as mayor of Rush Street.
I just want the chips. If he said if he's not reelected and they rescind the chips, that's a problem.
If he's not reelected mayor of Rush Street, 800 to 1,000 police are gonna walk off the job. And you know what? I would say anybody who would be willing to do that, walk off anyway.
Every other candidate for mayor of Rush Street is a socialist.
But not Harry Carey, because Harry Carey is going to spend all your money on cops.
And they wanted to fund the police.
Whoa.
On Rush Street.
I was going to write in the Jesse White tumblers.
No.
No.
Those are the Alexei Giannoulias tumblers now, sir.
Yep.
You lost those tumblers once you retired.
Mm-hmm. He had to forfeit the tumblers.
What if there's just more tumblers? Did you ever think about that?
We need more tumblers on the streets of Chicago protecting us from crime! Crime! Tumblers prevent crime!
If Alexei Giannoulias was elected to be Secretary of State, he would add 800 more tumblers.
I've heard that if Harry's not elected, all of the tumblers are going to quit tumbling.
Yes.
They're going to walk off
in mass.
Yes.
They're going to walk off and say, I'm going to clown college.
And the streets will flow with the blood of the non-believers.
Well, the thing is that there
was... That's it. You people have stood in my way long enough. I'm going to clown college.
Unfortunately for those other candidates for mayor of Rush Street, there was that video of them talking about how they wanted to defund the police.
Right.
And so that's being brought back up. Because people want to keep Rush Street safe.
Has to be Harry.
Even though they don't go anywhere near Rush Street,
but Harry
anymore.
Will make sure to keep it safe. Keep it safe from Kaner.
Well, too late.
Stop by to register to win Cubs opening day tickets throughout the show. Must be present to win.
I just wanted the chips, is all.
Ray Diaz is our executive producer, and guess what?
What chicken butt?
We have a brand new, newly minted associate producer.
Yay!
And sound man. Give it up for the trash panda, Adam Studzinski, who will fill the shoes of one Mike Rankin. Well earned, young man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Do you have a Simpsons quote you would like to play in this particular moment?
I don't know if one's appropriate. Not that I have in here. But give me a minute. You caught me off guard.
Well, day one's not going great.
There you go.
All right. I feel like that happened.
I love these real Saturdays. They're so relaxing. Not like that fake Saturday that almost got me fired.
Wait, wasn't that real Saturday also not real?
No, it was.
Oh, okay.
Craig got fired on his day off.
Too many pieces of paper today.
Who got fired on their day off?
Craig, for stealing boxes. But if you pay attention at the beginning of Friday, you find out who actually stole the box.
Easter egg?
Yeah, it's a really good Easter egg. And then you're like, oh, that all makes sense.
This is the time of Lent, and I gave up sweets where I'm like, Cadbury cream egg.
Yeah, I followed your lead. I kind of quietly gave up something for Lent after we had the discussion.
What?
I gave up Coca-Cola for Lent.
Did you replace it with that new Coke?
No. Basically, no brown pops has been my thing for Lent. So no Coca-Cola.
What about the Jell-O pudding pops?
Definitely don't want those because they might be. Well,
hey, no, we're not dissing on Jell-O pudding pops and all of this. That partnership ended a long time ago. You guys have napalmed everything else this morning.
What? We were just saying that we do support Harry as mayor of Rush Street.
Absolutely, because we need to crack down on crime.
This is going great.
Yep.
Where's Harry's money coming from?
Outside of the city of Chicago.
Ken Griffin.
Hey, where did Harry... Did Harry live within the city limits? Because I heard that that's like a thing.
I already had a pied-à-terre in Bridgeport, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. You know, because everyone has to have a place, and that's important. And it's important that the mayor of Rush Street live on Rush Street.
Right.
Okay, good. As long as Harry had his place there, and you're not worried about him maybe living in, I don't know, Orland or someplace like that. That would be silly if someone who lived in Orland would then try to be the mayor of Rush Street.
How dare you two desecrate my joyful day?
What? What did we do?
North Texas Conference USA Supremacy Day.
I've been trying to figure out whether or not Dan, you should be wondering about this too. Do we get claim? Because you literally called DePaul games when DePaul was in Conference USA.
That's right.
So do you get to take some credit? Like, do DePaul fans, like, which way do we go? Do we go with the Big East team or the Conference USA team with all those Conference USA tournaments in Memphis?
No, those schools weren't in those conferences.
No,
then.
Conference USA then was weird. Like, it was like Southern
was
Miss
in 1AA. We were in the Southland Conference.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm very well aware. I'm just saying I got to get my college basketball joy from somewhere. And if that means that I have to go back to 15 years ago when DePaul was in that conference, damn it, that's what I'm going to do.
I might go with the money team and just lean into the U.
I mean,
you have a lot of money. But soon everybody's going to follow that model.
Yeah,
but
why shouldn't you?
They're the first ones right now, right. And they're making it work for them. They stole K-State's guard and everything.
708 says they need to trot out Charles Thomas to campaign for Harry.
I knew that was coming at some point. I knew it.
Yeah.
Also, everybody's making the point of the tumblers would tumble away.
A man from St. Louis who's been dead for 25 years. I can trust him.
I hear $7. I can really trust
him. Strangely, we actually can or could trust Harry.
Right.
It's,
you knew where you stood with him.
Yeah, you knew 100% where you stood with him. He lived in the city.
Hey, the city's a hellhole. Boy, oh boy. Hey.
I'm running for mayor of Rush Street, but I live in Payless.
But I live in St. Louis.
Let's talk some baseball when we come back on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
We're trying to move as a group. We're trying to be really disciplined in, like, going through figuring out the positioning for the series for all the hitters on the other team based on pitch matchups, you know, where they're most likely to hit the ball, and then how that changes as we get deeper into counts or deeper into game situations. And so our biggest focus as an outfield, you know, with the great athletes that we have, is just putting guys in the right spot to make the most plays possible.
That seems to be the Cubs' plan. That was Ian Happ. He was terrific yesterday. Looking forward to another season of having our ongoing conversation with him. And Jed Hoyer has made it very clear that the decisions that they've made have been consistent with trying to prevent the other team from scoring runs.
And that's we'll their philosophy. It's interesting because, you know, I pulled a quote. Megan Montemurro of the Tribune wrote a piece about kind of where the Cubs are at. And the catch quote is Jed saying, we're on the front edge of where we want to be. Okay. All right. I'm wondering if that's good enough for Cubs fans, like as it stands right now. I know that there are some people who feel like the transition out of the World Series team, and I wrote it today in today's Sun-Times, where there's almost no more World Series DNA left on the Cubs. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. But do you feel like they're actually trending towards being championship level. And they're changing their philosophy a little bit, or a lot, when it comes to the idea of being a run prevention team. When I look at the Cubs, and I don't know what the two of you see when you look at them, I see a team that's really interesting because of this philosophical change.
Well, it's not just, it's also in context. When you see what the Cardinals are doing, and this is really represented by the departure and its subsequent acquisition of Wilson Contreras, because the Cardinals are going to a run-scoring model. They have to change everything that they're doing. They're going to win 6-5 games this year. And they're going to go with a pitching staff that now has to understand, and now is very, very quickly going to understand what Yadier Molina is as an elite, all-time special defensive catcher was doing for them. They're changing, and both can work. Both, you can win a World Series doing both, but it's fascinating to see how quickly that shift is occurring between these rival teams in this division.
But here's my question, though, is what's the end game for the Cardinals? Because when you're rolling out that pitching staff, which is Miles Michaelis, if you're looking at the depth chart, Jack Flaherty, Jordan Montgomery, and Adam Wainwright. And I realize that like they have a guy who can throw 105. I think that's fabulous too. But when you know that the National League is as stacked as it is ultimately, and they're still building what they think is a playoff caliber roster, at least from an offensive standpoint, you're still not realistically head-to-head with teams like the Padres or the Mets or the Phillies, right? You're hoping you can sneak a playoff series or two, maybe.
Well, if
what's the end game for them?
Well, they probably will look at their corners too and say, "Well, look at our corners. Look at the two guys that we have on our corners. We've got an MVP, an MVP candidate.
A threat. I mean, he threatened for the Triple Crown last year,
right? So
until a very good part of the season was over.
Maybe they think that they can slug their way through all of this. That you add the extra slug by bringing in Wilson Contreras, and you say, all right, if our guys are on, then sure, I don't even think 6-5, Dan. I'm thinking 9-6.
Well, this is something that was in the Sheehan newsletter today, that Yadier Molina is one of the greatest defensive weapons in baseball history. Since his first full season in 2005, the Cardinals have allowed fewer stolen base attempts than all but two teams have allowed steals. So think about this.
When does that go back to?
2005.
Okay.
Almost 20 years. Okay. Adam Wainwright has spent his entire career with the best security blanket since Johnny Bench. Miles Michaelis, since coming back stateside, has seen 16 base runners try to steal.
Wow.
In four seasons. That's four a year. Jack Flaherty has spent his entire career with the Cardinals in 6 years. That's more than 520 innings. Only 14 players have attempted to steal. So things are about to change. The Cardinals staff is down a security blanket, a couple of teddy bears, and a nightlight. The Cardinals will be better for having signed Wilson Contreras, who stretches a lineup that could run nine deep and average or better hitters. The transition from Molina to Contreras, though, is a fascinating experiment in how much of the team's steal prevention was the catching legend and how much was the pitcher.
Yep.
Now, do you believe Yadier Molina is a Hall of Famer?
I'm convinced, yes. It's not by the old standards, but by what I understand by how we measure things in the modern day. I have a better understanding of it. The answer is yes.
We've been talking about that for a year. Thank you.
But we can very safely say that the number of steals is going to go up league-wide.
And the rules are changing.
And yeah. You're not in the same division either. You can't lean on that. You can, but not in the same way, schedule-wise.
I mean, I'm a big Yachty guy. You know, he's not a big Yachty guy, but a big Yachty guy. And I've always said that if I were a major league player and Yadier Molina was my teammate, he would not be able to get rid of me. Like, I would just be attached, trying to figure out like how he sees the game, how he thinks the game, like all of that stuff. But I do think there is a little bit of myth making in the impact of Yadier Molina, as much as I love him. So I am curious to see how all of this goes for Wilson. And I think a lot of people kind of threw dirt on Wilson on his way out the door, which I kind of thought was a little unsavory that we got some, oh, well, you know, this guy doesn't like throwing to him and this guy. And I get it. He's more active behind the plate than most pitchers would like. His hands are very active. He's twitchy as a catcher. But I thought that his offense offset some of that stuff and his arm talent offset some of that stuff. So to get back to the whole thing here where we're talking about the Cubs and the Cardinals, which one of these philosophies is going to bear out? Do you believe that Jed can see the future and the future is run prevention? And is that sexy baseball? Is that winning baseball? I don't have the answer to it, but when I look at the Cubs, the thing that makes me doubt the Cubs' ability to rise above what some of the expectations and predictions have been is I'm trying to figure out where the runs are
slug.
Coming from.
Where's the slug?
Where are your runs coming
from?
You
got a slug.
That's it. Wilson Contreras was more meaningful to the Cubs lineup than he is statistically significant to the Cardinals.
I think both teams could be better. They're doing it differently. This can work. Both of the philosophies can work. It's not a zero-sum judgment on who's doing it right. It's just knowing what you have coming up and what the plan is for the next couple of years. I do think the Cardinals' bet, and it may be a good one, is that much of any defensive framing issue, the difference between, say, Molina and Contreras in this case, will be mitigated by the automated strike zone at some point during Contreras' Cardinals' career. And maybe they know more than we do about it, but I don't think that's a bet you make without presuming that an automated strike zone of some kind is coming. Because I think that changes the math.
I mean, I think that's going down the road quite a distance, though. If you, how quickly would that need to be put into place for it to benefit you while you're at the beginning of the front edge of where you want to be?
Within the next couple of years, maybe. And it goes against what the Cubs are doing, actually. It plays much more into what the Cardinals have decided. If framing doesn't matter, you can just get somebody who can flail
back
there.
But the Cubs are a whole system overhaul when you think about how they're also trying to develop pitchers, which is something that organizationally they didn't do either. To me, that's like instead of a pivoting of a kayak, it's a turning of a barge in a way, what they're trying to do.
And both teams are doing it. When he says we're on the front edge of where we want to be, the question I have is, does that mean you're paying $500 million to Shohei Ohtani next year? Does that be fine?
Because see, here's the thing. Yeah,
that would be fine.
The guys who are good at run prevention and can hit get paid $400 million now. So that's your going rate, really. They're the 5 WAR career players, and
you've got a guy that you can put out there every day and is top 10 as a hitter and top 10 as a pitcher. That's what you get. You get half a Billy.
Yeah, but John Smoltz would prefer that he pick one or the other because
then he could be the best.
Then he could be the best, but he's chosen not to be. Well, I guess that's just what he's chosen.
You literally were on the forefront of theoretical technology and mixing speeds and pitching and can't talk about it in one of the greatest at-bats in baseball.
It's really, really weird that he doesn't see the connection. That it's so strange that there's so many of those guys.
No, it's not. You know what? The game passes them by. It's just a matter of who keeps hiring them to talk about it.
And keep putting microphones in front of their faces. They can complain about being retired.
But and then retiring them.
It's just going to make them look more and more antiquated, though. Like, the game is passing you by whether you like it or not.
I'm a huge Hawk fan, too.
This is disappointing.
I'm disappointed by it, but my whole thing is, as big of a Hawk fan as I am, it was probably time to go.
It was well past time.
How many decades did he say he could have in Major League Baseball? Was it 5?
I think it was 6.
6. He spanned 6 decades.
Now tell him I didn't retire. I got retired.
That's
okay. Fine.
God bless him that he still wants to work at his age.
And here's the thing. If he were to ask the White Sox to do, like, for example, they've already figured this out as far as the days that Jason Benetti is not available, what they're doing. But I don't think it would have been that hard for Hawk to be like, hey, Benetti's out 20 games or whatever. I want to do 10. I don't think that anyone at the White Sox would be like, no, Hawk, you can't do 10 games.
On behalf of our friends Lynn Casper and Connor McKnight, I would
But I'm saying they already have their path. But I'm saying if Hawk had said a couple years ago, I want to come do 10 games a year, I want to do 5 games a year, Lynn prefers being on the radio.
Right. And
that's
Benetti,
the whole bit.
And Benetti's whole issue was the number of games he could take off for other things. That was the whole sticking point.
Yeah, there's a happy... Said, yeah,
throw me a couple of games
there's
here.
There's a happy compromise in here that would make some sense.
Or...
boredom is a hell of a drug, man.
Or, hey, Hawk, you want to just come out to Arizona for spring training? Because Benetti's doing basketball and other stuff. Why don't, when we do spotlight games for the White Sox and the Cubs, for example, that's an opportunity for Hawk to be in the booth. I know that Rich King does some of the MLB.com stuff. Like, he lives down there half the year, and he's fine. Here's Rich King and Hawk Harrelson.
Right.
Yes.
I think it...
There are a lot of solutions to this problem, and none of them...
It's not a problem.
None of them... It is for him. And what I'm saying is that you don't have to go scorched earth. There are ways to, if you wanted to stay involved, the White Sox... If we've learned nothing about the White Sox over the last 20 years, we have learned that they will make room for people who are part of the family. So I it's hard for me to believe that even if the White Sox wanted to bring in what is one of the best play-by-play people in the country to replace Hawk, that they would have found something for Hawk to do if he needed that.
I'll tell him I didn't retire. I got retired.
I think it's really hard for certain people who are used to working so much where that's all they do. When the workload gets taken away, like, you saw the disconnect with Tony La Russa, obviously. And I wonder if Hawk's going through that too.
I imagine that he is. All I'm saying is that there might have been a better way to find a solution to this where you weren't bitter about it at the end of it.
When we come back, I want you, Lawrence, to detail your ongoing concerns with Michael Kopech on The Score.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On 670 The Score.
Now, that's interesting, and I think the visual approach likes peace.
Left center field, Kolas back, and that one hops along for a base hit. Amaya scores. Strump rounds there. Here's the throw. Home, not in time. All right, B.J. Murray Jr.
B.J. Murray Jr., you got to watch out for him.
B.J. not going to work here anymore.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year. We're into the final cutdowns.
We should be beyond that, right? Because the games start tomorrow.
Yeah, there's still... But I'm saying there's some camps have like 32 guys in them, and some have 29. Like there's.
I think the White Sox are at like 37.
Yeah, right. And speaking of the Sox, Sox opening day, April 3rd, the Bernstein and Holmes Show live 670 The Score right here 10 to 2 at Cork and Kerry at the Park.
Are you coming out to this one, Layla?
Yes, I will be there. I put on a fake dramatic show about how I wasn't invited, but then I think Mitch felt guilty. So they were like, do you want to go? And I was like...
Are they ever going to tell us?
No.
No, this is what happened. Like, it happened while you were gone, and I was, like, reading it.
Dan didn't know that you
were
going to
be
official.
I thought you were just kind of saying, well, didn't you say that you were going to be working anyway, and you were going to be
that's
around
at
there?
Night. Yeah, the Cubs game is at 1:20, and pregame's at 12:45 on The Score, so it all kind of aligned.
All right.
But- I mean... Is there a part of me that just wants to stay at Sluggers and stay at Cork and Kerry and just watch the baseball? Yeah. But I talk about sports for a living professionally, so I will do it in both media.
All right. But so April 3rd, we're at 33rd in Princeton, Cork at the Park. An ice cold Miller Lite will be waiting for you as the White Sox take on San Francisco. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller Time Chicago. Celebrate responsibly. So, Kopech, not so great.
Yes, Dan. This has been problematic. So you know how, like, I've been saying, like, I have a bin of red flags, and when things go really bad, like, you wave them, you know, like,
you just throw them around, throw them off the walls, you throw them at your dog.
And so with Kopech, I was kind of, I was sitting in my chair, and it sits right next to me, the bin of red flags. It sits right next to me, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, he hasn't pitched in the spring. And then they're like, oh, well, he's going to pitch two innings. I'm like, oh, okay. Cool. As I'm leaning towards the bin, that's a thing. And then he goes out and pitches, and you go, great, it's great to see him. And then you hear him talk afterwards, and he goes, yeah, I sped myself up because I'm a little concerned with the pitch clock, and maybe I'm a little tired after that. And I'm like, oh, let me lean in a little closer to the bin. Then he's fine. And then you look and the velocity is down the next time that he goes out to the mound. And you're like, oh, I should probably. And then he gets tattooed in the last appearance of the spring and the velocity is still down. So I have a firm grip on a red flag.
Okay.
I haven't pulled it out of the bin. I'm not waving it around yet, but I have one in my hand now. I'm legitimately concerned.
What's preventing you from throwing it? Because I was hanging out with the red flag like last year whenever people were like, oh, he threw five innings. Let's give him the Cy Young. And I'm like, I like Michael Kopech, but the treatment is a little off.
You know what prevents me from throwing it? It's spring training.
Right.
But the radar gun, they always talk about, oh, the radar gun was hot. Like, there's no way that guy on the Cardinals touched 105. And, like, it's, if that's the case, then he's touching 94. And, yeah, I am concerned.
I want you to add all of the stuff together, though, Dan. If it were one thing, you'd be like, ah, oh, it's spring. But it's he wasn't quite ready to get his innings in at the beginning of spring. Mm-hmm. When he did get his innings in, he still is adjusting to the pitch clock, and he's probably, out of the guys on the staff for the White Sox, the one that's going to have the hardest time adjusting to it. So he overcorrected and found that that led to him being more tired, and him pitching deep into games has been an issue.
He doesn't get innings anyway.
Right.
Even when he's quote-unquote healthy.
And when he's able to totally replenish the power bar. Now he can't do that, and he's finding himself trying to figure out how to be in... Michael Kopech is in great shape. I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. How to be in better cardiovascular shape to pitch under these rules.
He was the guy we were worried about. I also think Clevinger, just based on same concern with the pitch clock, but specifically Kopech.
Well, Clevinger hasn't been any good either, but that's where you could throw the Dan argument of it's spring and maybe we're talking about a guy who was just working on stuff.
Yeah, I'm told that they were changing a lot of his pitch grips, and a lot of this is trying for him to get feel on new grips. That Ethan Katz thinks he's solved.
Michael Kopech said that he wants to pitch 200 innings this year.
Yes, and I would like to flap my arms and fly to Pluto.
Which I think is overly ambitious, but I get it. He's one of those types of dudes. 150 sounds about right to me.
I want him to want that, though.
I mean, it's rare that how many guys did we find out pitched 200 innings last year?
Was it like three?
It wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot. Wasn't it like five or something like that? So getting to 200 innings is not easy to do these days. But if you're being exhausted by having to work this pitch clock and your velocity is sitting at 93, 94, I've got concerns.
That's the thing that concerns me. It's the time it takes to ramp up the full power on the video game that is Kopech between pitches.
Yep.
And that's always been my concern. Because even before this, it's like, well, okay, if you do have a guy on base, what's the incentive for him not to steal on you? Because that's a long time. And I would be like, hey, I'm going to steal this base because you need 25 minutes between pitches.
That's why my hand is on a red flag.
This is our concern, dude.
Mike Florio is set up to join us next. We are going to talk about everything we discussed in transition regarding Lamar Jackson. There's Aaron Rodgers stuff. There's always NFL news to be had, especially as the owners and the coaches and everybody's meeting and talking in Arizona right now. All the latest on the NFL with Mike next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.